This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. You know the saying, there's an app for that? Cars and Uber, delivery and Instacart and a bunch of others. Also, surfing. I read in The Atlantic the other day about such an app and its website that'll track and forecast waves and winds and whatnot, but not without controversy. Caroline Mims-Nice wrote the aforementioned story. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me how a technology reporter for The Atlantic got interested in surf and technology.
So I'm a beginner surfer here in Los Angeles.
How's it going?
You know, it's going. It's slow, but better than I thought
it
would
be. Good, good. Anyway, so you're a beginning surfer and?
Beginner surfer, and I had just been fascinated about how quickly my life started to revolve around this website called Surfline. And my weekends and all of my schedule, basically, is me planning to go out and surf based on when this website tells me that it's ideal to.
So I have it up in the studio, but I'm going to let you give the expert's description. What can this website do for me should I be a surfer? Which, to be clear, I am not.
So Surfline is at its core a wave forecasting website. They have 1,000 cameras. Millions of people use it to plan where and when to go out. So just before we started talking, I looked up Malibu. Looks like it's a cruddy couple of days in Malibu.
Cruddy. That's a very surfer term, a cruddy couple of days.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's ideal surfing conditions over there right now. In addition to doing these forecasts, they partner with the World's Surf League in order to decide when professional contests are held. They blog about upcoming swells and recent good waves that people have caught. So it's sort of a full-scale media company. And I found that surfers have a love-hate relationship with it.
All right, so we'll get to the love-hate thing in a second, but I do want to point out here the data, right? Because this is kind of a data play. It tells you what the onshore winds are, and you can click and, you know, pay a subscription fee to get live wind. It tells you with a 2-millimeter wetsuit, it's 66 degrees Fahrenheit, so that's what you should wear. It tells you it's a dropping tide, 2.5-foot waves, 7-foot swells, winds out of the west at 260 degrees. So, yeah, winds out of the west. Anyway.
And you've got the color codes. I feel like that's very important.
Oh, there are the color codes.
You know, it'll tell you it'll be yellow or orange if it's bad to go out, and you'll get that green light if it's good.
Okay, so let's get to the whole love-hate thing.
Yes. Pretty much since Surfline has existed, it's been polarizing. I think that this really gets at a question of the spirit of the sport. Mm-hmm. Is surfing about everyone being able to get out in the water? Is this a cheat code to only go when it's really ideal? A lot of surfing used to be related to counterculture as well.
Yeah.
Should you be optimizing your job around your surfing, or should you do the opposite way around?
Right. So let me paraphrase. Has surfing sold out to the man, right?
Oh, that's a tough question.
I know. What do you think? You wrote the piece. You're a surfer. You tell me.
So I certainly think, you know, we've seen surfing has become a lot more commercialized. There are more surfers. There was an increase of 1 million, according to one study, from 2009 to 2022. Hmm. But, you know, I also like seeing people in the water, and it's a special experience, and I hope a lot of people get to share in that.
Caroline Mims-Nice, writing in The Atlantic about Surfline. Caroline, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
Great. Thank you so much.